Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling great. I feel good. We got the first one out. This is our second of 32 episodes.
Yeah. Now, we started, of course, with number 32, the worst team in the NFL. On my ranking, on the listeners' cumulative ranking, you had them 31. You had a team you hate more, who we will get to in due time. And we got bombed before we could say this, but I assumed we were going to go next with 31 and then 30 and 29 the way that we usually do it. You said, because I guess of your love of spinning wheels with your other podcast, that you wanted to spin a wheel and randomly decide a team that we're going to do next. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we should. It doesn't have to be a wheel. Okay. But that's
well, it's not spoiler. It's not going to be a wheel. I'm going to randomizer.org right now. I'm typing in copy and paste every NFL team name except for Washington. Randomize. Drum roll, please. All right. It's the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. Now, we have a guest that we've used for the last number of years, Jake Lewin.
Decade.
It's midnight. Should I WhatsApp him quickly and see if he's available or is it too late?
No, knock on his door. Go to his house and knock on his door. Don't want that.
Let me message him right now. He says,
"You up?
He says, "Everything okay?" He's nervous. He's worried something bad has happened. Why is Chester messaging me randomly out of nowhere at midnight? You want to do a quick podcast on the Colts right now? That's the emergency. Okay, he says, "Sure."
Yeah, this is like a podcast booty call.
Okay, podcast booty call. Okay, so give him a couple minutes. Let me send him the Zoom link before he joins us. Is there anything else we need to discuss in the absence of?
I didn't complain about camping enough. I can't explain how bad camping is.
Yeah. How bad is camping?
Well, it was like 100 degrees out, and it never got cold at night. So I was just like sweating the whole night. It was so hot and humid and gross.
You all guys also didn't light a fire, which makes no sense to me.
No, we did light a fire. Well, you think we were going to leave a fire all night? You're not allowed to, I don't think.
Well, I mean, eventually it burns out, but yeah.
No, we did not.
What time do the kids go to sleep? Your kids go to sleep late anyways.
Yeah, right? And then they were there with their cousins. I can't answer because I fell asleep before everyone else. I just went into the tent. Like, I left the conversation, was being rude on my phone, went into the tent and just passed out. My daughter texted me like 100 pictures of me. How about this? I'll send one to you and you could post it in the show notes.
A picture of you sleeping. Yeah, send that to me. That's what
before the tent
want.
Was even set up. Like, before there was no, before there was, you know, like.
Now, one other thing we were arguing about is whether this episode, and I guess we didn't know what team it was when we were arguing about this, whether this episode goes on the main feed or the patron feed. I think that all 32 of these have to go on the main feed in the tradition of this podcast. You want this to go on the patron feed. Let me just reassure the patrons, some of whom are big Survivor stands. We have more Survivor content coming. We probably have one Survivor podcast this week. We definitely have a couple coming the week after that with some beloved guests as well. So you will be getting Survivor content in the month of August on the Patreon.
Well, how about this? Oh, you can.
Look who's joining us in the Zoom. It's Jake Lewin. Jake, you got a podcast booty call and you reacted immediately. So you were just sitting there waiting, hoping for a late night text tonight, basically.
Every night. Always.
Welcome back to 32 Fans. Remind me, last year when we did the Colts podcast, was it before or after Andrew Luck's retirement?
It was right after.
Okay, so you knew. Yeah, I think you were very mournful now, I remember. You were in a very somber tone.
Yeah.
Now, you had a year of Jacoby Brissett, which was better, I think, than anybody could have expected. But not good enough for the Colts because they went and got future Hall of Famer Philip Rivers.
Right, certainly not. I think it was better than the expectation that they would go, you know, 4-12 or 5-11, but it was very annoying that they actually started off pretty strong and then had a bunch of big meltdowns, partially due to bad quarterback play, some defensive struggles, and kicking struggles.
Yeah, you got rid of that garbage kicker, Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, what a piece of shit.
Yeah, who unlike Philip Rivers, does not deserve to be a Hall of Famer, but he obviously will be. Their new kicker is Chase McLaughlin. I know nothing about that guy. Who's Chase McLaughlin?
He was on the 49ers.
We're going straight to kickers talk, by the way, like 10 seconds of the podcast.
He was on the 49ers.
Yeah, McLaughlin was caught, and then like, I think every team sort of wanted him, and they got him.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we talking kickers? You know, we didn't really talk about Ron Rivera when we did the Washington podcast, Alex.
Yeah.
So let's start at the top with Frank Reich. Is Reich the guy at this point you're like, okay, I want him to be there for, you know, 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, 15 years is hard to say when you really haven't done anything. You know, one small little playoff run and then a mediocre season. So it's really hard to say that. I just do feel confident with him as the coach. He's the media actually like him too, which is really important. I think he has a good command of the players room. He's obviously a very strong offensive mind. So yeah, I'm very pleased. I think he's great. But obviously, you know how it is. If he has three last seasons, he's not going to be there forever. So he has to keep moving an upward trajectory.
My big question about this team is, before Luck's retirement, this team had very high expectations. And what are your expectations coming into the season? Do you consider them like a Super Bowl contender? You know, like what are your thoughts on what you want this team to do this year?
I mean, obviously you want your team to go to the Super Bowl. That's
okay,
obvious.
Yeah, I know.
In terms of...
It's a thought for like the team I root for. Like they're not going
right.
to Super Bowl,
so that's the thing. This is, you walk into a season thinking that if they do win the AFC South, it's not like unheard of. I think they're the favorite, but it's like a slight favorite to win the AFC South. I don't think it's unreasonable that they go 10-6 or 11-5. They have a pretty easy schedule. Obviously, you want them to go to a Super Bowl. It would be great if they did. But if they go to the playoffs, I'd be incredibly happy. It'd be an awesome year. And anything after that would be just gold. The idea of getting Philip Rivers was, I think, it wasn't a slight as much to Jacoby Brissett. I think they like him there as a locker room person. I think they think he's a talented quarterback. I think at times he showed at times that he was capable of being a starter in the league. There are certainly other quarterbacks that are starting that probably shouldn't over him, your Trubisky's, et cetera. I think they wanted to get Philip Rivers because of the connection to Frank Reich, the fact that they, you know, saw a window where they have defensive players and a, you know, offensive line that's solid, and those really go very far. And try to strike while the iron is hot. I think Philip Rivers still has a lot left in the tank. I think, you know, 2 years ago he was playing at a Pro Bowl great level. They went, 12-4? And last year there were times when he played really, really well, but it was a really garbage Chargers team with bad offensive line. And now he's going to a place with a very strong offensive line and a quarterback and a coach, an offensive coach who actually know him, and there's opportunity there. So, of course, the team has aspirations for a Super Bowl, but in terms of what they brought in Philip Rivers for, what he can actually do, winning a division and making a possible playoff run is really in the cards.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Philip Rivers sort of. We'll get to the 2020 Philip Rivers in a second. But I want to talk about Philip Rivers' reputation because it really frustrates me and upsets me. And I'm not a Philip Rivers fan. I've never particularly liked him, watching him play or, you know, his personality or as a player. But I also appreciate, you know, he had the unfortunate reality of playing behind Peyton and Tom Brady, the two best quarterbacks in NFL history, in my opinion, in the conference for the entirety of his career. So, he never really got as much attention or credit as he might have otherwise. But Bill Barnwell posted he did this idiotic article where he was talking about every potential Hall of Famer in every team, and his percentages were just way out of whack. But before that, he had tweeted, he said, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? And 57% of the Twitter voters, and obviously people on Twitter are morons, but 57% said no. And that completely boggles my mind. Like, there's no world in which Philip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer. Like, you look at Dan Fouts. Dan Fouts on that exact same team also never came close to Super Bowl. He's in the Hall of Fame. And, like, this idea that you have to have won a Super Bowl to be a Hall of Famer is just crazy. You know, Philip Rivers has 7 seasons in his career where he was a top 5 quarterback. There's only 16 quarterbacks who've done that. They're all in the Hall of Fame, except for the ones who are not yet eligible. Rivers has been consistently very good. I would actually compare Philip Rivers to Brett Favre, if anybody, frankly. Favre obviously won a Super Bowl and went to another one, but what great receivers did he ever have? Obviously, Antonio Gates is a Hall of Fame tight end, but he never really had amazing receivers. And his postseason performance was not that bad, as people say either. Frankly, you look at his numbers per game, it's pretty similar to like a Ben Roethlisberger or whatever. But I have Rivers number 22 in my all-time quarterback rankings. And to me, there's absolutely no question he has to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what Jake and Key, what you guys think about that.
I'm with you. Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer.
And Jake, obviously, you had no partisan feelings towards him before. I mean, you know, I got Brett Favre late in his career on the Vikings, and for me it was different than even you with Rivers because, you know, I had hated Favre for most of his career because he played for my arch rivals. So what was your sort of opinion of Rivers for most of your career, most of his career in Indy?
It's funny you say that because the Chargers have actually dealt 2 heartbreaking losses to the Colts in the playoffs. And one was at the hands of Phillip Rivers and one that he had an injury. And then they had a backup come in. It was the divisional round in 2007 the year after the Super Bowl, the Colts Super Bowl win. And then in 2008, it was a wild card game. The Chargers were 8-8. The Colts were, I think, 12-4, but drew them in the wild card round and lost in San Diego in overtime. That was Darren Sproles, like, going out of his mind. And one of those losses, I think it was the one that was the divisional round that was in the RCA Dome, Philip Rivers was, like, blowing kisses to the crowd after they won the game and beat the Colts. So there's been a lot of, you know, animosity towards Philip Rivers in Indianapolis because of those playoff losses. The funny thing is that, you know, I've been following a lot of the articles and the podcast interviews with Colts players, and they all actually like Philip Rivers and describe him as being a genuinely happy-go-lucky, like, really excited. Describe him as being one of these, like, plays the game like he's, you know, in elementary school and, or, you know, in grade school where it's just fun. And he seems like a likable guy, but I always
hated he has an elementary school in his house.
That's true, too. But I've always hated his face. That's like, I hate his face.
Yeah, of course.
He's got a punchable face.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's 6'5". He would rock me. But
right, of course.
Yeah, so I'm looking at his sort of year-by-year stats of his career. 2008-2009, he has one of the best back-to-back seasons, really, that we've ever seen from a quarterback. 2010 as well, he plays at a very elite level. 2011, he takes a little bit of a fall. 2012, he was, frankly, not a very good quarterback. And his team, who had, you know, been above 500 every year of his career, drops to 7-9. But then he bounces back. 2013, he plays like a superstar again. 14-15, he's good, not great as he's entering his 30s. Actually leads the league in interceptions in 2014, but still has, you know, a ton of yards and touchdowns. And then in 2016, he had a really bad year. Led the league in interceptions again. I would say was a below average quarterback. And his team went 5-11. But then he bounced back 2017, 2018 as the team moves to L.A. They win 21 games over those 2 years. You know, they head back to the playoffs, and he's averaging 30 touchdowns a year, and his interceptions are cut in half. But last year, again, up to 20 interceptions, including I think he had 7 combined and 2 huge primetime losses. They go to 5-11. I think the big question for Rivers is, you know, can he keep his interception rate above or below his career average of 2.6? And did we see in last year where he dropped off, did we see a 38-year-old quarterback who's nearing the end? And we've seen that from Favre and Peyton Manning and, you know, almost every other great quarterback we've ever seen. At a certain point in their late 30s, they're just done. Or did we see in Rivers in 2019 the same thing we saw in him in 2016 or 2012, which is every once in a while he just has a year with a ton of interceptions and he has a bad year, and then he bounces back. In the next couple of years, he's a good quarterback again. So, you know, which one of those do you expect?
I expect the interception ratio to go down. Frank Reich's system is generally less prone to interceptions. It keeps it open to have, like, safe throws available. And Philip Rivers is known to always use safety valves like Danny Woodhead or Darren Sproles. Nyheim Hines, who's in the locker room, they've just been showing him tape on those players at his times in San Diego to basically clue him in as to what they want him to be doing in that role. But I digress. The point is, I think that you're coming in with a strong offensive line, a team that certainly had a strong run game last year and is motivated to run the ball. They invested in another, you know, top-tier running back in the draft to take the load off of Philip Rivers. So I think that there's opportunity for him to not have to win every single game and have to do everything in order for them to succeed and put the ball down the field. So I expect that he'll have at least a better year in terms of his turnover ratio. I don't think he's going to have his eye-popping numbers. I don't think he's ever had a career, maybe one time, where he was less than 4,000 yards. He might not have 4,000 yards this year passing, but I think they're going to give him more of an opportunity to not have to win games just on his own. And a lot of those interceptions, this is what I've read. I haven't looked at them, but I know that there's articles by people who've watched all the film, watched every single interception they've thrown, and a lot of them were in, you know, late game situations where he just swung it to try and get a win.
This is also the best offensive line he's ever going to have.
Exactly.
He's never had an offensive line this good. Right. This is the best offensive line. You know, it's been Philly and Dallas for a while, but they both lost guys.
Tennessee was up there. I mean, Quentin Nelson, is he the best guard in the NFL?
He's the best offensive lineman in the NFL. Quentin Nelson is...
Can you say that? Doesn't it have to be a left tackle just in terms of...
Yeah, he's not the most valuable offensive lineman, but he's the best.
Okay.
And I'd say outside of Aaron Donald, and maybe Patrick Mahomes, but, like, he's the best player at his position. Like, he's a top five guy in the NFL, you know, position value excluded. For sure.
I mean, we could go back...
He's on the...
We might look back historically...
Nelson's on the highest, the fastest trajectory of any offensive lineman ever. In terms of making
we might look back at the 2018 Colts draft. Their first and second round picks could both be Hall of Famers. right? And Nelson and Leonard. I mean, those are guys who both immediately were all pros.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how, nailed, I mean, how often both. Does that happen? Maybe like the Cowboys 20 years ago. And, you know, the first year with those two guys, of course, they won the division. They go to the playoffs. They lose to the Chiefs, I believe. Wasn't that like 30-13 or something like that?
Yes.
But that was the second round. They won a playoff game. And then the next year, obviously, the season sort of – the plans are shattered by Luck retiring on the precipice of the season. And, you know, you end up 8-8, 7-9, wherever they went last year. So, you know, there's a lot of talent on this team. Defensively, obviously, it's not just, you know, DeForest Buckner's obviously a great player up the middle as well. Before I tell you what our ranking is, and our listeners know because it's in the name of this podcast. But so Akiva did his rankings from 1 to 32 this year. I did my rankings 1 to 32. And then we had our listeners as well, our patrons, I should say, submitted their own rankings, and we averaged those out as a third number, and then we averaged those three together. If you had to guess, Jake, sort of what the non-Colts fan, what sort of the general football fan, where they're ranking this team from 1 to 32, where would you put the Colts?
Probably, I think we're probably equal. I think they're in the low teens, like high teens, depending on how you look at it, like 13 or 14.
Okay, so the listeners averaged them out as the 12th best team in the league. And little Kiwi Wienerker has him at 12 also. Alex Chester has him at 7. So am I way too high on this team? What am I missing here?
It's just so many unknowns. That's why I wouldn't say, you know, it's hard to predict. You're talking about a new quarterback, limited opportunity to practice. I give a lot of deference to teams that are putting out the same players with the same system. Like, I don't think the Seahawks are so much of a better team than others, but the fact that they have a system in place, I would put them higher.
Yeah, well, but you're not really competing with the Seahawks. I mean, you look in the AFC. First of all, you probably have, if not the best, one, you know, a top three or four backup quarterback, obviously, and a guy who already knows the system. Other than the Chiefs and the Ravens, and they're in their own stratosphere probably in the AFC right now, who's the next best team? Who doesn't have big question marks? The Patriots have huge question marks, obviously. The Steelers have question marks. The Titans have question marks. The Bills, the Browns, the Houston. Like, which team, other than those two, doesn't have
big questions? It's also a division again.
Right. So I have more faith in the Bills than the Texans just because they're putting out basically the same team as last year, minus, you know.
And the Texans example, minus their best player. So that's not great.
Right. And still, until the Texans don't win the division, I'm penciling them in to win the division.
Okay.
You know what I'm excited about on this team, Jake?
Who?
So it's honestly, from 1 to 53, this team is pretty similar to last year. They didn't add a million guys, which is good, obviously. Adding a new quarterback is usually, I believe they're returning the exact same offensive line. So basically the three new additions are Rivers. The first round pick is essentially DeForest Buckner, right? Because they traded the first round pick for Buckner. Right.
Yeah.
And I really like Michael Pittman. I think everyone really liked Pittman in the draft. He's also the type of guy, Pittman, Alex, is a possession receiver, not a speed guy. He's huge. Those type of guys start their careers usually much quicker than the burner.
Right.
Like he may come in as like almost a finished product.
He's the Vincent Jackson 2.0 is what people are saying.
Yeah, not a speedy guy, but huge. I do think like it's time already. Obviously, like Hilton has to stop being, not necessarily stop being wide receiver one this year, but like you can't rely on him this much. And
they're transitioning him out. You know, he's in a contract year this year, and there's a lot of buzz about whether they're going to bring him back. He said he wants to stay. I was shocked when I heard him on a podcast this week. He's been in the league 9 years. It's crazy.
It feels like he's still a kid, but yeah, he's been there.
Yeah, he's still got wheels. He's still really fast. But you know, it's crazy. He's not Tyreek Hill. He's not like the fastest guy in the NFL. Like I think those early years, he was one of the fastest receivers in the league. Not anymore.
Yeah. And they drafted Paris Campbell last year. I don't think he really did anything, but maybe this will be. And Zach Pascal actually very quietly had 600 yards last year.
Zach Pascal is like he's a poor man's Hines Ward. That's how I look at him.
Uh-huh.
Good blocker. He does the small stuff, but he could actually like if in certain situations he can run a route. Like he has that to him. Paris Campbell. I don't know. You have to give him another chance, but he just didn't look good. I feel like he's Philip Dorsett. He's number 15 also. Any wide receiver who wears number 15 for the Colts just sucks. That's my feeling now.
Yeah, and they lose Eric Ebron, Alex. They bring in Trey Burton, who had a very good 2018.
Also, he played with Frank Reich.
Yeah, but Jake Doyle is ageless, and you know, is there tight end one? I think this offense, Marlon Mack, obviously, I think really came out of nowhere in the last couple of years. But it helps when you're running behind Costanzo and Nelson on the left side of that line, obviously.
What is early talk about Jonathan Taylor been also? Because Taylor's the type of guy, an incredible college running back. I'm a little nervous if it's going to translate to the pros. But it's second round pick.
So I'm not remembering all the details here, but basically, I think his average in college was more over 4 yards a carry. And that was on an offense that everyone knew they were running the ball. I mean, they weren't doing anything else but run. And he was very, very productive. I think the Colts are Frank Reich said today that Marlon Mack is the starter. They're not planning on putting him out as a starter. They're planning on putting him out as,
But he's also not a receiver. It's tricky. Like you said, Nyheim Hines is gonna be the third down back anyway.
They have like a bevy of good running backs. Jordan Wilkins, who's the fourth running back, I guess, on the depth chart. He had flashes of brilliance also last year. So they have good running backs. They have a good offensive line. I think Frank Reich is creative enough to not just be stuck with, a Saquon Barkley three down back, or Ezekiel Elliott three down back. I think that they want to have that variety. They might want to have sets where there's two running backs in, and then you really have to decide which one's going to be the blocker, which one's going to go out, which one's going to actually take the handoff. There's opportunity there, and when you have two backs, at least one that was productive in college and one that's been productive in the NFL, and a good offensive line, that might create some, mismatch or good. So I think that's part of the reason what they're going to do, and not just, Marlon Mack, he has to get 1,000 yards because that's what he did last year. I don't think they're going to play like that.
This is a team, they went 7-9 last year, and you lost at least two games that I can remember, maybe, and you can correct me if there's more, strictly because of Vinatieri, right?
It was the Chargers game.
Week one, the Chargers game. There was a game against against the Steelers, wasn't it?
The Steelers. And there was another game against Miami.
Okay, and then
let's say they split those games. Let's say they win two out of those three. They go 9-7.
Yeah.
They still don't make the playoffs.
Well, I don't know what the tiebreakers are with Tennessee, who may go, went 9-7, snuck in, and that, also you lost Week 17, a meaningless game where you wanted to lose actually for playoff seeding, right? If that game matters.
Yeah.
Maybe try a little harder.
Right. And there were games also. There's the game against the Titans where they were really Vinatieri got a field goal blocked that led to a touchdown that changed the whole game.
Yeah. And so it's just if you get even from Rivers the same thing you got from Brissett, this is a team whose baseline I think is a 9-7 or 10-6 team. And as we said, it's in an AFC where you have two teams and then a drop. I mean, maybe the Patriots are excellent again, but half their defense has opted out. They have a quarterback who hasn't been healthy in a couple of years. So there's massive question marks there. I just, Houston, every year that you have an additional year of Bob as the GM, I think is just, more and more bad for the Texans, and eventually he'll run out of pieces to give away. I'm surprised that I'm the highest on this team. This is a team, Keeve invented his concept of 2-53 because of the Colts, right? Keeve, you used to talk about how 2-53, this was the worst team in the league.
Packers.
Yeah, the Packers are a better example now. Although
it's interesting.
Packers have some talent, but
We haven't talked about the defense much yet, but it's a weird defense because it's top heavy. There's a couple very good players like Buckner and Leonard. I do think in a season like this, where who knows who's going to be going down for what reason, depth super important, and I do think defensive depth is probably this team is as weak as basically any team in the league. There's not a lot behind the top level. Guys, I said to you before we started, this feels like the team that should have traded for Jamal Adams. In hindsight, maybe, would you have given up that? I don't know, he wasn't really available before the draft, but last pick and this pick. Would I rather have DeForest Buckner in a first-round pick or Jamal Adams and no first-round pick? It's a tough call. I don't know where you'd go. Hindsight, would you have rather they trade for Adams? I'm not sure.
So I have 2 points. One, I'm going to disagree with you about the depth, but I'll just say one thing. At first, I didn't like the Jamal Adams trades because I think they gave up too much. But now seeing the fact that college football is basically not going to happen this year and it's going to be a tremendous, sea change for how the draft process works for 2021, giving up this draft pick actually makes a lot of sense. I thought, because you gave up, they have 2 first-rounders, right? But for next year's first round might just be such a crapshoot, really. So that's the difference. That's the second point. But the main point about depth, I actually disagree with you. When it comes down to their front seven, I think they actually have pretty good depth of defensive line. You know, Danico Autry and Kamiko Touré are pretty solid. Touré got injured in that Chiefs game on Sunday night last year, and he had a stellar game. He's always been getting better and better. They signed Sheldon Day. Justin Houston still has what's in the tank. Tyquan Lewis is, there's opportunity there. There's local boy Alkadim Muhammad from New Jersey. They have, and Grover Stewart also had good games too. Their linebackers, besides Leonard, there's Okereke who's solid. Anthony Walker's had some good games. I will admit that their secondary is not very deep. That's Kenny Moore. I think Kenny Moore has been a solid cornerback. They've had, I think their depth at safety is Malik Hooker, who knows it is going to be. Kari Willis is young, but he's had some good games. Rocky Sin got better last year. They drafted him in the second round of 2018. He's gotten better. So their front seven, I actually think, is strong and has depth. When it comes to the secondary, I think that's their weakest and there's a lack of depth there.
As what's the time check here?
We got a few minutes. Keith, can I propose that we do our first schedule game of the year?
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask. We're thinking after 6 years of podcasting.
Yeah, now this is a tough one because, who knows how many of these games are going to occur at the currently scheduled time and place. And, with COVID, this is a big roll of the dice. But we'll try it anyway. So week one, you go to Jacksonville. You ended your season there with a 20-point loss.
Right. So let's assume you're going to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So there's no home field advantage, even if it wasn't during COVID.
Yeah.
I think it's a must-win game. I know it's crazy to say that, but if you lose to Jacksonville opening day,
The first half of the schedule is much easier than the second half. So they gotta be banking wins in September and October if they want to.
Right. Exactly. Also, yeah. So the Jacksonville they're playing the opening day. I think they're gonna get that win, but it's not gonna be a blowout. I think it's gonna be really close.
Jacksonville is going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
Yes, but Minshew Mania,
Can't mess with the stash. All right, so you're going to give yourselves a win there. Week two, you play the Vikings at home.
I want to know what you think.
I have not begun to really think about the Vikings season in detail yet. I'm very worried about the secondary. This is not a Vikings podcast, but the Vikings secondary is all new, and secondary is obviously Zimmer's specialty. So let's see what he can do. He made stars out of guys like Xavier Rhodes, but then, they sort of fell apart. Yeah. As you'll discover. So I'm really not sure. Well, he made the Pro Bowl last year, which is one of the most hilarious things ever, but
So Jack Doyle. Yeah. Yeah.
Jack Doyle is better than him. This is not my pick. This is your pick.
I think it's a loss. I think they're going to lose this game.
From your mouth to God's ears. All right, so you're 1-1, and then you play the Jets. So you got the back-to-back home games against the Chester Keefe teams.
I think the Jets is a win.
Yeah, and then you go at Chicago in week four.
That's a win. If they were playing in the winter, I'd say it's a loss, but I think they're going to win that game.
Yeah, Chicago's very bad. By the way, I love how you can still buy tickets to all these games right now, as if there's going to be fans. Yeah, a complete insanity.
Don't waste your money.
So 3-1, and then you go at Cleveland in week five. Big game. Could have playoff implications down the line.
Right, could. I think it's a loss.
All right, and then at home before the bye, you play the Bengals.
I think that's a win.
Okay. After the bye, you are now 4-2, and you go at Detroit.
That's a win.
All right, 5-2, and then home for the Ravens.
I actually think this is a win.
Wow. So 6-2. That'll be the 5-2 Colts against the, 6-1 or something like that, Ravens. Big win there. 6-2.
Yeah.
Now on a short week, you at Tennessee on Thursday night.
They lose this game. This game they lose.
6-3, and then you got 10 days to play the Packers.
Right. I actually think they win this. No, more.
Thursday to a Sunday.
Ten days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they win this game.
All right. So 7-3. By the way, we might get bombed, so we'll try and pick it up. The pace. You play the Titans a week later at home.
Win.
Okay. 8-3. So two Titans games in November. 8-3. Then you go at Houston.
They're going to lose. They'll lose either the one in Houston or the one in Indiana.
It's weird, by the way, that you haven't even played Houston until December. But all right, so with splitting those, you're 9-4. In between those, you play at Las Vegas against the Raiders.
I think it's a loss.
All right, so 9-5. And then you were at Pittsburgh?
I think that's they're probably going to win that game. And then, you know what? It's hard to say. I think they'll probably win that game. It's just hard because it's going to be freezing cold.
So you win a 10-5, and then you end the season the way you began it against Jacksonville. 10-5, you're probably already in the playoffs, I'd have to imagine, the AFC.
I have them at 10-6, so maybe I'd have to switch. Maybe that Packers game they lose. Maybe they lose the Steelers game. But I have them at 10-6. I don't see them winning 12 games.
Listen, I want you to beat the Packers and lose the Vikings, so that sounds good to me. All right, so 10-6 for the Colts, a playoff team. And maybe Alex will be proven correct with his ranking of number 7 for this team. And do you expect Philip Rivers to play all 16 games, which is something he's done pretty much every year of his career?
Yeah, I think he will, except if there's COVID. Other than that, you just have to hope his kids wear masks to school.
Yeah, he has so many freaking kids. And he's a homeschooler, though, isn't he?
Now he definitely is.
I'm not sure. Is he a homeschooler?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Has he brought the whole family to Indianapolis, or are they staying in SoCal?
Apparently, they actually live there.
In Indianapolis.
They moved to Indianapolis?
Yeah.
The whole family. Wow.
I guess there's no school. Who cares?
No, there actually is. Indianapolis,
the biggest house in the state.
The area he lives in Indianapolis is what's it called? Washington Township. They canceled school a long time ago. There's no school.
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't really matter this year where you live with the kids. Like, you're just on vacation, basically.
Yeah, right. 9 kids in that house.
How many nannies do you think they have? Guys would make it.
Imagine they have, like, 7 Zoom calls going on every day.
Oh, yeah. No, no matter how rich you are, there's no way their internet can withstand that, honestly.
All right, Keith, I lost track of the clock, so this may be bombed. We may not even be hearing this. In fact, almost certainly we're not going to hear this. But over-under of 9.
Oh, that was great stuff.
Over-under of 9 for the – maybe I'll edit out when he lost his audio. Over-under of 9.
If it's 9, I'd go under.
Under?
I already put money on the over.
Under for Keith. All right, we've definitely been bombed at this point. So we're going to end the podcast. I'm going to stop.